Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1. Wanted to tell y'all a joke. It's not politically correct, so I'm kind of hesitant about it. I don't want to offend anybody, and everybody's so easily offended. Isn't it a shame, though, really, that we have so digressed in our country that you have to be so peculiar about what you say? Isn't that a shame that it's got to that point? That's kind of why I tell you things like that all along, because I want to resist that spirit with every fiber of my being. I am disgusted with the direction that we're going as a country. And I don't want to just lay down and just go right along with the flow and be that kind of person who is so easily manipulated by the opinions and whims of other people, especially folks that don't even know God or anything about the Bible. Amen. Why would I want to let somebody like that control my life? Okay, so anyway, that was a funny joke, and you ought to have laughed if you didn't. A lot of truth to that joke, too, though, by the way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1, the Bible says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day and for another opportunity to be in church. I thank you for each person that's come here today. And Lord, I don't know anybody's spiritual condition, but you do. And I pray if there's somebody here today that's lost, that this day would be their day of salvation. Or maybe they didn't even come here today with the right intention. Maybe they didn't even come here with a desire to get saved or hear anything from you. Maybe they just came because they felt like they had to. Whatever their motive, I pray your Holy Spirit would deal with their heart right now in this service. And I pray they'd be under such conviction that they cannot leave the premises without bowing their head and heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that's backslid or just has any need as a saved person, whatever it is, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Give us all, Lord, ears to hear. and hearts to receive the message that you have for us. And Lord, I pray that Jesus Christ would get the glory in all things. I pray you would help me to see what honors you, what glorifies you, what you want said in the hearing of these people. And Lord, when we leave here today, I pray that each one of us would be able to truly and genuinely say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, we'll thank you for all that you do, and we ask it in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, and for his sake, amen. When you read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, as we just did, it's fairly easy to see the theme or the main focus of the passage is the sacrifice of Christ. The writer of Hebrews, as he does on several occasions, drives home to his readers with his own personal revelation from the Holy Spirit as well as the Old Testament scripture, the value and significance of the sacrifice that was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the subject of today's message, a message I have titled, Once for All. Once for All. And I want to stop right here before I go any further and issue a word of warning to everybody here, especially those who are saved and have been saved for a long time. If you're not careful, you'll, as you progress in your life as a Christian, get to the point where you don't appreciate Christ's sacrifice as much as you once did. And because of that lack of appreciation, when a pastor preaches on that subject, you'll tend to immediately begin to tune him out and let your mind go to other places and think about things that, for whatever crazy reason, you feel like are of more value and importance than a message on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So I'm just issuing you a warning. If you're saved here this morning, try to keep your mind focused on the message. Don't let familiarity with the subject cause you to let your mind wander off somewhere to another place and another time on another subject. Try to focus for the next few moments on what I'm going to be dealing with in the message. Keep your mind on the message. Amen? We'll try to do that. I'm going to try to help you with it best I can. I'm going to do the best I can to keep you interested. But I'm going to hope and pray that you'll do your part to stay focused as well. And what I'm going to do, Lord willing, is deal with four aspects of Christ's sacrifice, which are made clear by what the writer says here in this passage of Scripture we just read. And my hope, number one, is that if you're here today and you're lost, that your eyes will be opened to the fact that Jesus Christ paid a sacrifice for you. Amen. And that before you leave this place, you'll be under such conviction and drawn with such power from God that you cannot leave until you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. That's my hope. Secondly, for those of us that are saved, I just pray that the Lord will remind us, refresh us, renew us, revive us, ever how you want to say it. Just get us back to the place in our lives where we have a greater and stronger appreciation for the sacrifice made by our Savior. And the first thing that I want to talk about this morning is what I call the substance. The substance, talking about Christ's sacrifice. And here I'm talking about what his sacrifice was. What was it made of? What was it composed of? And you see this here as well as other places in the book of Hebrews and really throughout the New Testament and Old as well. But look right here in Hebrews chapter 10 once again and take a look with me at verse number 5. In verse number 5, the Bible says, the writer of Hebrews says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, and this is one of the two places in this passage where the writer goes back to the Old Testament and he uses the Old Testament to give confirmation to what he says here about the sacrifice of Christ. And this is where he quotes Psalm chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. But in verse 5 it says, "Wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." Look down in this same passage at verse number 10. The Bible says, "By the which will," talking about the will of God referenced in the previous verse, "by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ." What was the substance of his sacrifice? The substance was himself. The substance was himself. What did he offer to God for sins? He offered himself as an offering for sin. You see it right here. Again, you see it in other places. Hold your place here and turn back to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. We're going to look at some scripture this morning. That's all right, isn't it? Amen. Hebrews chapter 7. In verse number 27, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 27, in reference to the Lord Jesus, it says, "Who needeth not daily as those high priests," the high priest of the Old Testament, the ones that were in charge of offering all of those sacrifices. But he says about Christ, "Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's," which is what the high priest of the Old Testament had to do, because even though they were high priests, they were sinners just like the people. So they had to offer sacrifices first for their own sins and then for the sins of the people. But what he's saying here is Jesus didn't have to do that. The reason is because the Lord Jesus Christ knew no sin. Amen. He was without sin. So he didn't have to bother with offering any kind of offering for his own sin. The Bible says there, "Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once," look at it, "when he offered up himself." He offered up himself. Turn to chapter 9 now, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse 14 to begin with, Hebrews 9, 14. Verse 14 of chapter 9 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." It says that through the eternal Spirit he offered himself without spot to God. Same chapter, look down at verse number 26. Verse 26. "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." So what was the substance? What did he offer? He offered himself. He offered his own body, the body that the Bible says was prepared for him. That's talking about the incarnation of Christ, about how he came down here and took upon a body just like you and I. But it was a body that differed in the sense that it was filled with the blood of Almighty God. And that's what he offered for sins. He offered himself, his body, his blood, in order to pay for sins. And this needs to be set in contrast with the sacrifices of the Old Testament. The majority of those sacrifices back there were animal sacrifices. And this is stuff that you probably already know, but most of those sacrifices, not all of them, but most of them were animal sacrifices. The people would bring things like goats and bulls, which by the way are referenced right here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 4. But they would bring goats and bulls and heifers and lambs and turtle doves and pigeons, all sorts of different animals that were required of them to be brought as offerings for their sins. So those were animal sacrifices. But when Jesus Christ came, he didn't come bringing an animal to give as an offering. He was the animal that was the offering. The Bible says he was the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So he offered himself. He didn't come bringing an offering. He was the offering. You understand that? In the Old Testament, those people would come and they had to bring an offering, some type of animal to provide a covering for their sin, to give them some forgiveness for what they had done wrong. But Jesus did not come bringing an offering. He himself was the offering. He himself was the offering. You need to understand that. Jesus gave himself. He gave his body to be broken. He gave his blood to be shed, to pay for sins. Maybe you've thought about this before. I'm sure most of you already understand. I hope you understand anyway. The reason why in communion we take of bread and juice is because those two things represent the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That bread, which is unleavened bread, and it's broken. Y'all remember that? It's broken. Jesus took the bread and he broke it. That was when he instituted communion with his disciples there in the upper room. But we take that unleavened bread, or those little pieces of unleavened bread, and we break it. Because that bread symbolizes the broken body of the Lord Jesus. We just read two verses here in Hebrews chapter 10 where it talked about his body. That body that he was given, he had that body and he gave that body to be broken for sin. Whenever his body was broken, the blood came out, the blood of God to pay for sin. That's why we take the juice. More specifically, why we take the grape juice. Because that represents the sinless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was given when he offered that sacrifice for sin. So what was the substance? What did he give? Well, he gave himself. This is one reason why you and I should be thankful for the sacrifice. Because of what he did for us. He gave himself. He laid down his life. He allowed his body to be so beaten and bruised and battered that according to the Bible, his visage was so marred you could hardly even recognize he was a human being. A lot of these pictures you see now of Christ hanging on the cross are about as far away from how it actually was as anything you'll ever see. Not reality. They painted in a lot lesser light than how it actually was. If you believe what the Bible says, and I do, amen. If you believe what the Bible says, he was so beaten and mangled, you could not even hardly tell what he was. And that's what he did for us. He gave his body to be broken. He shed his blood. He let his life's blood be poured out to pay for our sins. We ought to be thankful for what he did, amen? He gave himself the sinless, think about it now. The Bible talks about in Hebrews how he endured such a great contradiction of sinners against himself. No greater contradiction has there ever been in the whole universe. That the sinless Son of God would come down here and allow himself to be treated like a common criminal and hung up on a cross in nakedness and shame to die for something he had never done. Amen. To pay for what we had done. Amen. We ought to be thankful for this sacrifice. Amen. The substance, number one. Number two, I want to talk this morning about what I call the singleness of this sacrifice. Not only the substance, but the singleness. Look at verse number 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 10, which is where I took the title for the message. But in verse 10 it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Look at it. What's the next word? Once. Once is what the Bible says. Look at verse number 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, look at the next two words, forever. You see that? That's important. It's important that you pay attention to the comma and where it's placed in this verse. The comma doesn't come after sins, does it? Think about it. Think about how it would read, this man, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, if the comma was there, then it would say, forever sat down on the right hand of God. He is seated at the right hand of God, but listen to me, friend, he's not forever seated at the right hand of God. One day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to stand up and come back for his church, amen? So he's not forever there. What it's saying in the verse is he offered one sacrifice, and that one sacrifice was good enough forever. You understand that? The singleness of this sacrifice. Look at verse number 14, same chapter. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Look again back at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. We looked at this verse, but I want you to notice a different aspect of it. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 27. Hebrews 7:27. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's? For this he did once when he offered up himself. Look at chapter 9 again. Hebrews chapter 9. Verses 25 through 28. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 25 through 28. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The singleness of his sacrifice. He made one sacrifice, and that one sacrifice was good enough forever. He'll never suffer again, you understand? The Lord Jesus Christ was a suffering servant when he came the first time. He came to offer himself as this one sacrifice, and he did that, and Jesus Christ will never make that sacrifice again. This also is to be said in contrast with the Old Testament sacrifices. Those sacrifices had to be made again and again and again, every day, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. They had to keep coming back all the time, bringing those sacrifices. Can you just imagine how wearisome that would get? To have to just keep coming back again and again. Those priests had to be there every day because there were certain sacrifices that had to be made every single day. And then there were some that were made only once a year, but those sacrifices went on and on and on. Look at chapter 10 here, verse number 1. Chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. I tell you what, folks, I am thankful to God that it didn't stop with the law, aren't you? I am glad. I'm telling you right now, I mean it with the depths, from the depths of my heart. I'm glad we're not under the law anymore. I am thankful that God didn't stop his plan of redemption with the law. Amen. Because the law, what you read here, it was just a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing. You know what's so wonderful? We're living really in the greatest period of time in the history of man. We are living under the new covenant. Things are now like they never have been, folks, in God's redemptive plan. Isn't it wonderful to think about how good God has made it for us? The good things to come and not the very image of the things. But look at it. The law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered, here it is, year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Look in this same chapter, verse number 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes, here it is, the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Those priests there every day at that temple, every day at that tabernacle, and those people come as God has instructed them to do, and they bring the appropriate sacrifice. And oftentimes, as it says, it's the same sacrifice, and it's made every day, every day, every day, every day. Listen to me. This went on, folks, or it was to go on for thousands of years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So day after day, week after week, month after month, these sacrifices are made. But then, praise God, one day, a crazy looking fella come up out of the wilderness of Judea, and he started preaching. And this fella come walking along, and he cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Lord Jesus Christ, after all those thousands of years of sacrifices being made day in and day out, year in and year out, finally the Son of God shows up in due time, and he goes to a cross, and he makes one sacrifice forever for the sins of the world. You know what that means? No more sacrifices have to be made. All of that stuff that they did back there in the Old Testament, all of that daily stuff, the yearly stuff, going through that routine day after day, Jesus Christ put an end to that with his one sacrifice. But the singleness of it, it'll never happen again. You ever thought about why Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished"? You know why he said it? Because it was finished. Everything that needed to be done, he did that moment when he hung there on the cross. The singleness. You won't ever see that happen to him again. And the good thing, I think about this. You know, I read the Bible and I understand the things that those people did to my Savior. And it angers me. I hate the thought of people treating him the way they did. But the truth of the matter is, had we been alive at the time and been amongst those in the crowd, we'd have probably been guilty of the same things they were. But I'm not looking at it from that perspective. I'm looking at it from more than 2,000 years down the road based on what the Word of God says. And it bothers me when I read the Bible and I see them spitting in his face and slapping him with their hands and putting a crown of thorns on his head and mocking him and ridiculing him, bowing the knee in mockery to him. I don't like that. It bothers me when I read it. But here's what I know. He only had to do that once. And no nasty, vile, wicked sinner will ever put their hand on the Lord Jesus Christ again. It happened once, and that's the only time it'll ever happen. Number three, the substance, the singleness, the scope of his sacrifice. This is seen in verse number 10, the scope of his sacrifice. Look at verse number 10. This is good here. It is for me anyway. "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for" how many? All. What's the scope of his sacrifice? What I mean, who does it apply to? Who was the sacrifice made for? Was it made just for a select group of people, or was it made for everybody? It was made for all. Isn't that good news this morning, to know that that sacrifice was made for everybody? Hey, we weren't even born at the time. Like people say down here in the South, you weren't even thought of at that point. You understand? You wasn't even thought of. Not in human minds, but you were thought of in his mind. That old song, "When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He looked down through the corridors of time and saw me and you." And when he hung on that cross that day, he didn't just die for a certain group of people, a certain race of people, a certain social class of people. He died for everybody. The Bible says he tasted death for every man. Please understand this morning, if you don't, Jesus Christ died for you. All that stuff you read about in the Bible that he went through, you know what he did that for? Well, you can say he did it for everybody, but the thing you need to understand is he did it for you. You're one of the all that he died for, amen? You're one of the all. He had you on his mind. He loved you enough that he died for you to pay for your sins. Thank God for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That he tasted death for every man. The Bible says he was the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. This is why he's called in the Bible the Savior of all men. He's not the Savior of all men in the sense that all men are saved, because there's a whole lot of folk that aren't saved. Matter of fact, if I understand the scripture correctly, there'll be a whole lot more people in hell than there will be in heaven. More lost people than saved people, okay? But he's the Savior of all men in the sense that he died for all men. He is the one and only Savior of all men. There is no other Savior but Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important that people understand this truth. Because when they turn away and reject him and they embrace any other god, and the world's full of them, you understand? This country, other countries are filled with all of these other gods and idols and people that folk worship, and they're hanging their hat on them. And they're thinking they're going to get to heaven because they're trusting in that person. Listen to me. If you turn away from Jesus Christ, you've turned away from your only hope. Amen. He is the Savior of all men. Buddha's not the Savior. Muhammad's not the Savior. Allah is not the Savior. You understand? Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men. And when you reject him, you have rejected your only hope of heaven. Amen. You'll go to hell without Jesus Christ. I love you enough, I'm going to tell you that. You will flat go to hell if you reject Jesus Christ. You embrace anyone else, you put your faith anywhere else other than in him, you will go to hell. He is the only hope of heaven for anybody. Because he died for all. That's why salvation is available for everyone. Isn't that good? See, if he'd have just died for a certain group of people, then only a certain group of people could get saved. It's highly likely we wouldn't have been in that group. Know what I mean? But when he died for all, that opened the door of salvation to everybody. It doesn't matter what race. The color of your skin makes no difference. Red, yellow, black, or white. He died for everybody. It doesn't matter what social class you're in, what country you're from. It does not matter your background, your upbringing, any of that stuff. What religion you're a part of. Listen to me. Salvation's available for everybody. Because Jesus Christ died for all. That's the scope. Number four, I want to give you one more thing about his sacrifice, the substance of it, the singleness of it, the scope of it. Finally, the sufficiency of it. The sufficiency of it. The sacrifices of the Old Testament could not take away sins. You understand that? I'm going to show you that. Look at it right here, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1. The Bible says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can, what is that word? Never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So you could offer them year after year, day after day, week after week, month after month, but they never made anybody perfect in the sense of being sinless before God. They never made anybody complete before God. There always was something lacking there. Those things just provided a temporary covering, a temporary forgiveness for the people. And that's why they had to come again and again and again and again, because it never made them perfect. Do you understand? Now look at it, verse 4. The Bible says, look at it now, for it is not possible. We're talking about something that's an impossibility. The Bible says it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Couldn't do it. Look on down one more verse, verse number 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Can never do it. But listen to me, the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that what the Old Testament sacrifices couldn't do through thousands of years and millions upon millions of offerings, Christ did with the one sacrifice of himself, with that one sacrifice. Because those things don't take away sin. Here it is. I quoted it earlier. John chapter 1, verse number 29. John the Baptist said of Jesus Christ, behold, the Lamb of God, listen, which taketh away the sin of the world. You hear that? What none of those sacrifices could do, Jesus could with his sacrifice. The sufficiency of that. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 5 says, ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. This is why he only had to die once. because that one sacrifice was sufficient. There is no need for any other sacrifice. You can't add anything to what Jesus did with his sacrifice. That one was enough. All a person has to do is put their faith in what Jesus Christ did, and all of their sins are gone. Forever and forever. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? You are perfect in your position before God when you rely on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, yes, we still live down here in a sinful body and we do wrong every day. That's why we have to confess our sins to maintain our fellowship with God. But as far as our standing before Him, we are perfect in His Son, Jesus Christ. We are sinless because in trusting His sacrifice, He took our sins away. They're gone. Think about that sitting where you are this morning, if you're already saved. All of your sins are gone. Isn't that wonderful? They've been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at this right here, and I'm fixing to stop. Verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Verse 17. In their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Somebody in here ought to say amen about that. Amen. That's good news, folks. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, I beg you with everything in me. But here's what I know. I can say whatever I'm going to say, and I can beg you, I can plead with you. It takes a work of the Holy Ghost in your heart for you to understand that you're lost and on your way to hell without Jesus Christ. But I have prayed before I got here this morning. And I prayed after I got here this morning. And I'm praying even as I'm talking to you right now that if you're here and you're lost, that the Spirit of God has already started dealing with your heart. And that before you leave, you'll throw away whatever else you've been trusting in and put your faith in the only one that'll get you to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. Those of us that are saved, I just pray that we'll have a better understanding of what He did for us. Be more grateful than what we are many times for the sacrifice Jesus made for us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, this opportunity to be in church. Lord, I thank You for the sacrifice You made for me. Thank You that it was sufficient, Lord. I need nothing else. I don't need my filthy rags of good works. I don't need religion. I don't need any of that stuff. I have You, Lord. And I am complete in You. You finished it with Your sacrifice. It's done. It's over. And I am thankful, Lord, that I have heaven as my home because of You. And Lord, if there's anybody here today that's lost, please, I pray, Lord, deal with their heart. Help them, Lord, to come. Receive You as our personal Savior. Give us saved people a greater appreciation, Lord, a greater thankfulness for what You've done. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.